621, 1320 WILS. Well, the picture, it's been seen around the world now, this photo that apparently came from the National Archives, just dug up in accordance of, or apparently just simultaneously with the 80th anniversary of Amelia Earhart's disappearance. It shows a picture that purportedly is her and her navigator. And the story is that they may have been captured by the Japanese on the Marshall Islands. My next guest says not even close. Rick Gillespie is with us, founder and executive director of the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery. Rick, great to have you on WILS.
Hi, Mike. Great to be here.
Yeah. Now, you've done a lot of research on Amelia Earhart and what happened. To what extent have you gone?
Well, you know, I've been working on this. I'm the executive director of an international organization that has been investigating this disappearance for 29 years. You know, I know a little bit about it.
Uh-huh. And now, to do that, what have you done to actually fully investigate it?
Well, of course, it's not just me. Mm-hmm. It's the members of our organization. There are about 1,000 of them. And we've done archival research all around the world. We've found things that had never been found before. Incidentally, I've known about this photograph for a year. This is not new to me. And
where did the photo come from? Do you know?
Well, it surfaced a year ago, and the story is it was found in the National Archives. To answer your question, we've run 11 expeditions out to the South Pacific, and other countless research trips around. But anyway, I kind of like to think I know what I'm talking about in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this photograph came out of the National Archives, so it was not classified. Nobody leaked it or anything like that. And if we're going to objectively assess this photograph, we first have to ask, well, when was it taken? Well, they don't know when it was taken. Okay, so we don't know that. Unknown date.
Mm-hmm.
They think it was taken around 1937. That's all they can say. Well, where did it come from? Well, there's a caption on the bottom of the photo. It says ONI, and it has a number. ONI, that's the Office of Naval Intelligence. That's the U.S. Navy Office of Naval Intelligence. And so this is an intelligence photo. Okay, what else does it say? Well, it says that this is a picture of Jalowit Harbor, Jalowit Island, Jalowit Atoll, Marshall Islands. That's what it's a picture of. It doesn't say it's a picture of Amelia Earhart captured by the Japanese, anything like that. Why would the Office of Naval Intelligence want a picture of Jalowit Harbor? Well, because Jalowit was the Japanese headquarters in the Marshall Islands, and the Navy would naturally want to have a picture of what it looked like there. Okay, so we've got this picture of Jalowit Harbor, and we're looking at the harbor across a wharf or a dock. And there's a bunch of people hanging out on the dock, just standing around.
Yeah, it doesn't amount to it. Richard Gillespie was, by the way, founder of the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, executive director there. So, Rick, give me your take then. What did, from the decades of work you've done, what did actually happen to Amelia Earhart?
Well, what really happened to Earhart was that she, having failed to find the island she wanted to find, she did exactly what she said she was doing in her last radio transmission. She said she was following a line that, up and down a navigational line, she hoped would lead her to Howland Island. Well, she didn't get to Howland Island, but there's another island on that line she should have been able to get to, and that's what the Navy thought had happened in 1937. So they thought maybe she had gone down this line. She said she was following toward this island.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the following days and nights, people started hearing radio distress calls from the airplane. And they took radio bearings on these distress calls, and the bearings crossed at this island. So the Navy thought, okay, we've got this figured out. She's down there on this island calling for help. And she had to have made a safe landing in order to make these radio calls, because she has to run an engine to recharge the battery that the radio depends upon. So she's made a safe landing someplace, and she can only do that on land, and there's not a lot of land out there, and the Barings cross at this island. All right. So, unfortunately, before the Navy ship that came to investigate the island could get there, it took them a week, the signals had stopped because the airplane had been washed off the reef where it landed. The island has a reef around it that's flat, smooth, dries at low tide. It's like a runway.
So you think she essentially survived the downing of the aircraft?
She definitely did, because even though the airplane was lost, she survived on the island as a castaway because her bones were found 3 years later by the British. Unfortunately, they were then misidentified.
But they were not able they were not able to find this particular island, you're saying? The Navy,
the Navy found the island, but when they flew over it, they didn't see an airplane because by then the airplane had been washed into the ocean.
Mm.
So they wrote the place off. Okay, all those signals must have been bogus because there's no airplane here. They never thought of the possibility that the airplane was there, but it just was hidden in the surf, which is where it was.
And so she essentially lived for months or years?
Definitely a number of weeks, probably months, definitely not a year. And I'm basing that upon the food remains, the burned fish bones and bird bones at the campfire where she camped. We've examined this archaeologically. We've found things that she had with her at the site where the bones were found. We know all this. But we don't know for sure how long she survived. But based on the number of bones we found, what she was eating, certainly a number of weeks, probably months.
And her navigator, did he likely survive with her there?
The indications are from the radio distress calls that were heard. She said that he was severely injured. Oh. And we don't see any sign of him at this campsite. So chances are he didn't last very long. He probably died early on. So... now what we need to do is find whatever remains of the airplane. It probably broke up in the surf. It's a very dynamic environment. Mm-hmm.
And you're still, we did just a minute left here, Rick, but you're still looking now for the airplane?
That's right. We'll be going back out to the island, and we're going to be looking for the airplane. But I can tell you that this latest photograph about being captured by the Japanese is there's nothing to it. The woman in the photo is not Amelia Earhart. The man is not Fred Noonan. There are no Japanese. There's nobody in uniform. There's nobody guarding anybody. It's kind of silly.
Well, you heard it here, right here on WILS. It's Richard Gillespie. He's the founder and executive director of the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery. Rick, it's been educational. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Yep, 6:30, 1320 WILS. When we come back, Stephen Moore will be here, distinguished visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation and former senior economic advisor for Donald J. Trump for president. We'll get his thoughts on what happens if this new health care bill does not get out of the Senate, does not get through Congress, which it now appears that it may not occur, what the economic implications of that will be. Also, the CDC, that is next on WILS.